I must admit to you, I'm a little tired. So much service and old age is also coming slowly. I mean, I don't want to see it, but it seems to come. I was thinking, as I was chanting before the deities, I would like to sit down now. I'm so tired and so old. But then I thought, no, let me use this opportunity to praise my Lord, to stand before him as a soul who begs his mercy and glorify him. And the moment you do this, I have always felt that the Holy Name reveals another dimension of his glories. It becomes all of a sudden transparent. Oh, Krishna, Krishna. I'm talking, I have to talk in the microphone. Good. This should be better. So let us sing Jai Radha Madhava. Jai Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Jana Vallava Girivaradhari Gopi Jana Vallava Girivaradhari Yasoda nandana Vraja jana nandana Yasoda nandana Vraja jana nandana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Prabhupadat, 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 Sila Prabhupadat. Prabhupadat, Jaya Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Se Radhe. Jaya Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai. Gopinath Prabhu, can I maybe ask you to open the windows? I think you would know best how to do this. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We have chosen today a very, let us say, mysterious verse because of trying to explain the concept of this retreat. It's taken from the fourth canto, 25th chapter text, and it's 21, I think, yes.
Pancha
Shishahina Guptam, Pancha Shishahina Guptam, Pratiharena Sarvatah, Pratiharena Sarvatah, Anveshamanam Rishabam, Apo Aprodham Kamarupinim, Pancha Shishahina Gupta, Pratiharena Sarvatah, Anveshamanam Rishabam, Aprodam Kamarupinim, Pancha Shirshahina Guptam, Pratiharena Sarvatah, Anveshamanam Rishabam, Krodam Kamarupinim. Yes, please, someone else. Yes, Matajis, please. Pancha, five, Shirsha, heads, Ahina, by a snake, Gupta, protected, Pratiharena, by a bodyguard, Saravataha, all around. Anveshamanam, one who is searching after. Rishabham, a husband. Aprodham, not very old. Kamarupinim, very attractive to fulfill lusty desires. Before I read the text, I would like to give you the context so that it's easier to follow the concept. This part of the Bhagavatam describes how the soul finds a material body, and in the material body assembles the senses and the intellect and all the different ingredients so that the soul can become active. It's almost, you can almost compare it to what happens at the time when you are disembodied still. You have just had a recent death, and your old body has been given up, and you are now in a sphere where you don't have a body yet. So then you're there, the soul without the body, and looking for a possibility to enter the material experience again, for which you need to have a body. So at that time, by the laws of karma, you will be attracted to a very determined couple, your parents, who in the act of conception help you to obtain again a physical body, and you enter into this physical body, and slowly one step after the other, around you is assembled material and the material senses, so that you can work in this world and try to realize your situation. So here, This is described in a very, very amazing story. It's about a king. The soul is compared to a king, and the king is moving to find a place which he can inhabit. And on his journey, he finds an empty town in a beautiful valley. And he approaches this town, goes in the town, and there meets a mystical woman. This woman was protected on all sides by a five-hooded snake. She was very beautiful and young, and she appeared very anxious to find a suitable husband. So now we find in Srila Prabhupada's purport, who is this mysterious lady who's accompanied by a snake with five heads? I have a taxi driver, Kashinath, in Mayapur. He's my very close taxi driver. We have been driving together through the Holy Dham since more than 20 years. And he told me that last time that he saw just next to his house a very long snake with two heads. Two. Just imagine. You don't even know which head should you look at to avoid being stricken by the snake. So this is a five-hooded snake. Mm-hmm. My assistant has a new dress. It's called a hoodie. So this is a five-hooded snake. Just imagine the imagery. Who is this five-headed snake? Well, Prabhupada explains. Listen. The vital force, means the living force of a living entity, includes the five kinds of air working within the body, which are known as prana, apana, vyana, samana, and udana. The vital force is compared to a serpent, because a serpent can live by simply drinking air. The vital force carried by the air is described as the pratihara, or the bodyguard. Our prana, our life force, guards us, it protects us like a bodyguard who is always with us. The moment the bodyguard is no longer there, we are in danger. I think you know this. When you can't breathe any longer, like when being underwater or being strangled or whatever, your life is in danger. You will not be able to live long. So this bodyguard needs to be with us in this material world, the vital force. Without the vital force, one cannot live for a moment. Indeed, all the senses are working under the protection of this vital force. The woman who represents, who knows? Mm-hmm. You are, I think, occasional readers of the Bhagavatam. It's good to become a regular reader, then you know. The woman who represents intelligence. Oh, there was someone coughing. Let's try it again. The woman who represents intelligence was searching after a husband. This indicates that intelligence cannot act without consciousness. A beautiful woman is useless unless protected by the proper husband. Intelligence must always be very fresh. Therefore, the word aprodam, very young, is used here. Material enjoyment means utilizing the intelligence for the sake of rupa, rasa, gandha, shabda, spasha, or the intelligence is used for making out the form, the taste, the smell, the sound, and touch. Hare Krishna. You can see by just taking a little example from the Bhagavatam how deep it is and how vast or broad the scope of its subjects are. It's really everything is dealt with, and we are here very much interested in this idea of life force. What is the life force? Namo Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyade Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Garada Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. It is generally understood that there are five life airs who are responsible for different functions in the body. Without these life airs or this vital force, one cannot live even for a moment. It's necessary. And the life force needs or leaves the material body, then death occurs. In the same way as our physical body is dependent on life force, our spiritual practice also requires a life force. And especially our chanting of the holy name is in danger of becoming mechanical and dead, for that matter, if you chant without the life force of chanting. In our retreat, which we will have here in 2018, this retreat, we are trying to study what is the life force of our chanting. Because if we can just bring life into our spiritual practice, it will be extremely vital, to the degree that as or when we sit down and chant, Krishna will appear on our heart. And once, I think everyone agrees with me, Krishna appears in our spiritual life, then we can say, as the Indians say, Hogya, it's done. we have reached the fulfillment and the goal. The ultimate goal of Krishna consciousness is a love of Godhead, because when we have love of Godhead, then we can have the personal darshan of Krishna. We can live with Krishna, be with Krishna, dance with Krishna, eat with Krishna, and then there is again spiritual life fully blossomed and fully bloomed. But alas, 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 in Serbian language we would say, ovaya, 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 Hare Krishna. We often find ourselves in the trap of mechanical practice. We chant with no or very little aliveness of true Krishna consciousness. And yes, we believe that when we chant Hare Krishna, we associate with Krishna. We become inspired even when we hear it. But when we actually realize how far we are still away from our goal, we lose our initial enthusiasm, and our japa and kirtan becomes something which we do only out of duty. Thus, we chant out of duty and not with devotional feelings. And what really happens is we start to lose hope. Hope that indeed it is possible for us to be Krishna conscious. And as a result, material desires become again very strong. Now, do you know our movement was very, very full of devotees, but more than 90% of Prabhupada's disciples have stopped the practice. I'm not saying it out of derision. Derision means to be against it. I'm saying it as a statistical analyzer, that it seems to be not as easy as we hoped it initially to be. No? Because, yes, the personal darshan of Krishna, that's a very, very high goal. Yes. But it is possible to escape this wheel of the hamster wheel of a mechanical chanting. It is possible to break out of this and become self-realized souls who are fully alive in their Krishna consciousness, even only if we can turn our mechanical chanting into a chanting which we do with taste and with devotion. Yesterday, I was able to attend the morning arati in the temple, and as I was singing the prayers, I remembered for a brief moment a very interesting story of Narada Muni. He had come to Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, and as he is accustomed to preach, he wanted to preach to the residents, but the Lord said, it's not necessary that you preach here. So Narada Muni felt a little, why? No, you will see how everyone is here. And the Lord said, come, I show you. And he passed under a tree, and there were some birds. And the Lord said, these birds will only drink charanamrita, that means water which is left by me. They prefer to stay thirsty to drinking unoffered water, which I have not personally drunk. And then he showed Narada Muni. He drank a cup of water and he put this before the birds who were sitting in the tree meditating in trance about the Lord. The moment the water came, which the Lord had personally drunk from, the birds took the water, and the Lord said, see, they have not drunken for 100 years because they don't drink water, which I have not drunken, but now they have just drunken a drop and again went back in the sweetness of meditation. But I will show you something else. So they went, the Lord and Narada Muni went, and they came to a temple. And the temple had just, the priest had just finished his aarti. You know, you see, our priest is now, where is he? With the flower. So he will have afterwards the chamara, and then the aarti is closed. So this aarti is also at the end of the of its performance. So this priest had just closed the arti, but there was a man running towards the temple. Behind him came his wife, and behind the wife the children. They were really huffing and puffing. And when the man was just only 20 meters away from the temple, he heard the blast of the conch shell, which announced the end of the Artik. And understanding that he had come too late for the Artik, he had just come to the end of the Artik, he fell down unconscious and on the ground. Oh no, this were his last words. I missed the Artik of my Lord. Boom! When the wife, who was coming 15 steps after her husband, because her husband was very fast, heard the blasting of the conch shell, boop, announcing the end of the Arctic, and seeing her husband falling on the ground in frustration, she also gave up her life, pang, and fell on the ground. And when the children understood, we come too late to Arctic, boom, boom, they also fell on the ground. See, said the Lord to Narada Muni, they are so eager. They don't need preaching about how important it is to be in Krishna conscious. They don't come mechanically to the Artik. They come with great, great taste. So after some time, the priest did his next Artik and blew the conch shell, announcing the start of the Artik. So the moment the man heard how another Artik started, he came out of his fainting spell. His wife came out, and the children came, and they went to the Artik. They have so much eagerness. They are not. This is maybe the 1,000,000th Artik they go to, where they see me. But they are so eager to be there and to see that. They don't need preaching. You must come to Artik. Don't come too late. Don't sleep during the time of the Artik. They don't need the preaching any longer. This is an example of being alive. It's an example from the spiritual world. it's a very high type of example. But being alive in Krishna consciousness means really that you do things with an inner eagerness, with an inner life force that inspires you to be there. It's not that you do it by rote. By rote, R-O-T-E. It's a new word which my editor has put in there. I had to look it up. It means not mechanically. It is rote by rote. What does this mean? On autopilot, yes, it's not on autopilot. So our chanting is sometimes so lifeless because our prana, the life force of our eagerness, has left us. And in this japa retreat, which you have so kindly made time to attend, we want to introduced something like the five vital life forces which make your chanting alive, so that you are not half dead but fully alive in your spiritual practice. The first will be yojana, or aligning body, mind and heart. And what this does is you will overcome your distraction when you chant. If you want to approach Krishna in the holy name and be really there as you chant his holy name, my dear devotees, you must bring the three gifts which Krishna has given to each soul who has a material body. You must bring that to your chanting. You must bring, first of all, your body and your voice. Then you must bring your mind, with which you can concentrate. And finally, you must bring your heart, the center of your devotional feelings. When your feelings are somewhere else as you chant, I hope I will soon have something to eat. That's not good. When your mind is somewhere else when you chant, it's not good either. And when your body is just asleep or lying down, you know, it's not there in the chanting practice. It's not sitting straight, but it's just doing whatever it wants. It's not possible to overcome distraction. See, just when your eyes are somewhere else, when you try to speak, I'm trying to put this now, you know, see, my eyes are going left and right. Can you see it? I'm trying to say something now. It's not possible. There are scientific, I'm trying to catch your attention and wake you up from the unsuccessful sleep, you know, which you had maybe in the night. It is seen when a person looks somewhere, when he doesn't look at you, but he looks somewhere, he is not there. Have you ever had discussions with someone who was just looking somewhere else as he was speaking? You were going, look to me. No, have you? It's not possible to concentrate on the chanting of the holy name when only your eyes are somewhere else. You just cannot be with the holy name fully if your eyes look at magazines while you chant, or at the important game in the football hysteria, or World Cup, I'm sorry, World Cup. You need to bring your eyes and your body to the chanting. It's very, very important. The same is with your mind. You cannot focus on the chanting of the holy name if your mind is either in the past, or in the future. This is the in material life. These are the most favorite places for our minds to dwell. In the past, what happened? What did go wrong? What did go very well? Or the mind is in the future. What I will do? What will come after this program? What will come after the visit, and so on. We are never there in the now, at the moment where we should be. There is this very amazing example of a young boy. His name was Gopal, who once met a sadhu. And the sadhu gave him a magical wand, you know, some words and a stick. And he said, whenever you are somewhere, you can just use this wand and you can go either in the future or into the past. And this boy was very satisfied with this, because wherever he was not satisfied. I sometimes, when I gave retreats in the past, nowadays I don't allow this any longer. I'm giving the retreat and I have to work very hard and concentrate very hard. And then I'm thinking, oh, only 3 more days of this torture where I have to give 4 lectures a day, then it's over. And then, oh, then my life starts. I used to be sometimes like this. When I did something which was not easy, I would project my mind into the future to find some rest. Are we not all like that? Like this boy who, when he was talking with his friends, he was thinking, oh, it would be so nice to be at home and do something simple. When he was at home, he was thinking, oh, when do I make a journey and go somewhere else? When he was with his parents, he thought, oh, the parents always talk the same things. I would like to be with my friends. And when he is with his friends, he thinks, oh, these ruffians, they never understand me. They don't care for me. I always have to function and be funny in their midst. Otherwise, I'm not interesting. And Jim always going somewhere else. So Gopal got a magical wand. And the moment he said, let me be in a tropical zone, whoop, bang, he was under a palm tree with nice sun. Then he thought, it's too hot here, let me go somewhere else. Bang, he was in the Swiss mountains, in the snow-capped Alps. And then he thought, let me be somewhere else. Jump, he went there. But soon he found out, this always wanting to be somewhere else and never being satisfied to be there right in the moment killed him. So the next, because he was never happy, he was never satisfied. He always saw, this is too hot, this is too boring, this is too uninteresting. And he always would change. So the next time he met the saint, he said, I don't need this magical wand any longer. Take it. I want something else from you. I want the ability to be present in what I'm doing and doing it very nice with full attention. And my dear devotees, this is the secret of Krishna consciousness. Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, you should learn one little thing. Forget the past, the dreams. It's no longer you can be in the past. Forget the future, which is not with you. You are not in the future. But act in times which are now with you. That means the present moment. And you will make true progress. Because if you can act in the present moment with full concentration, you can meet Krishna right now. Krishna is always next to you, Hari Prasad. It's an illusion if you think Krishna is, I will meet him in the future, or I will meet him in the past. He is here, and if you have not learned to meet him here, you will never learn to meet him in the future, and so on. All you have is only the present moment. All you really know is the present moment. The future is can be anything. The past is gone. You have no influence on the past. All you have is the now. And when we do this in the chanting, my dear devotees, we understand, now I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I'm sitting down with this body which Krishna has given me when I took birth. I bring my mind to the practice. I concentrate. I'm absolutely there. There is nothing interesting in what I did in the past, what so-and-so said, what he wrote in the email or in the WhatsApp or in the Facebook or you know better than me. It's not interesting what I try to do in the future. Yes, I have a ticket when this is over. Then I will go to where do I go? London or New York or we go to Berlin. It's not interesting because it's not there now. Now is only this moment, this lecture, this Hare Krishna mantra as you chant. You understand, if you don't learn to accept the present, your life will always be disconnected. Disconnected in Maya, as we say. No? You have to contact Krishna now. And this is especially important in our chanting of the holy name. Therefore, aligning body, mind, and heart is the beginning of a serious practice in relationship with the holy name. This is the first life air which can bring you alive. It is something which we will practice with, starting with at 11 o'clock, where we will find some amazing exercises which really work with a kind of strength or power and bring us to the present moment. Then there are other practices. I will just mention them here, which we will learn during the retreat, is a sambandha, chanting with a sense of being related to Krishna, being connected to Krishna, being together with Krishna as his eternal servant. This is the second practice. The third practice is seva, chanting in the mood of service. These three practices we will learn. There are two more advanced practices which we cannot focus on in this retreat because there is not sufficient time. But I'm hopeful that you will learn the three practices and go home with them and experience the nectar of the holy name, maybe for the first time, but I think all of us have had some wonderful experiences with chanting. But we will make a good experience, then we can practice with them, and you will get a training newsletter where some important exercises will be given to you so that outside the retreat you can work. We will have Gaur Krishna, a wonderful devotee with a good knowledge of computer. At the end of the workshop, you will be able to type in your email, so in his super London computer, and then it will, you will be sent automatically a newsletter, which will help you in these to cement these three practices. Good. So, but I want to talk now on the first. I have to look at the time here. I will not talk on the first practice. I will do this in the workshop. I wanted to just give you a little help for your retreat. A word, how you can make the retreat work for you. If you want to come to your next level in your spiritual life, you actually need to apply four practices. I would like to see someone has them. Yes, Hari Prasad will stand next to me. He is a world famous facilitator, so let us be respectful. First, transformation can happen when you enter the forming phase. It means you form a willingness to change. This will happen during the retreat. Or let us say, when you are, you want to really move on, then you go usually into the association of devotees. You hear the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam from them. And as you hear this, you become inspired and you form a desire to move on. This also, by the way, happens when you read regularly in the sacred scriptures. You read and all of a sudden a point strikes you, which you feel, I want to put this into my practice. This is the forming phase of the transformation. Things come together. Then, from there, you need to move to the next phase, which is you need to take action. In Sanskrit, you will call this nididhyasan. No? You will act upon what you have learned. It's a willingness to put into the action. The forming phase is during the retreat. You should listen in such a way that you will get new inspirations and you will get new ideas what to improve. Then when the action phase comes, that will be during the retreat, but especially it will happen after the retreat. See, you will get some inspirations here, hopefully, Krishna willing. Then you should immediately act on this. We will do this during the workshop. There will be new things which we learn from the scriptures and Prabhupada's statements, and we will immediately do them. But this is very good. There we will learn it. But then after the retreat, you will do. I want to give you an example. I do this in the end. Now, after you have equipped yourself with forming an intention, it's called sankalpa in our language, and then from the intention you have gone to the action phase, you will have some new experiences which will equip you with something which we can call confidence. Do you remember the nectar of instruction? There are what are utsahan, nishchayat, Dayan. Utsahan means enthusiasm to change or to move on or to practice bhakti. Nishayat means confidence. You can do it. Like, for instance, there is one exercise which we will do this, I think, today, which works magically to connect the mind with the sound vibration of the holy name. You feel all of a sudden the vibration, Hare Krishna, is really resonating within your heart. It's really, oh, the holy name is really there. And you think, wow, I can do it. You become strengthened from within, and we feel empowered and confident and inspired. We have new fuel, so to say, in our gasoline tank. And now we can do actions which bring about further growth. No? And then by this, you can enter this very wonderful area, which is the transformation. Now, obviously, working on our japa and on our kirtan is a lifelong cycle. It's not a cycle which is, like a circle. It's more like an upward moving spiral. Do you know what is a spiral? Yeah. Spirale in Deutsch. Eine Spirale. Well, German has also nice words. So you move upwards in the Spirale of Transformation. You know, the spiral of transformation. And so many wonderful things come. We hear from our scriptures that a person who moves upwards in the spiral, he will become acquainted with the form of the Lord. He will in his heart experience the mercy, that means qualities of the Lord. And as he moves on, he will actually not only see the pastimes of the Lord, that's one thing, but he will enter and participate in these pastimes. It's really a wonderful spiral. It's not a boring circle. It's an interesting upwards moving spiral. But for this spiral to work, or for you to bring, you will need to go through these three things. Forming, so that you have an intention, a sankalpa, an action or nidhyasan, something which brings you some experience. And then from the action or experience, you get the confidence, wow, I can do it. And at the end, a transformation awaits you, which inspires you to go one step further. Yes, now you will see my japa is so much enlivening me. And at that moment, you will start to do what Rupa Goswami describes as the essence of all devotional practice, is to chant the holy name and think of the Lord. It's in the eighth verse of the Nectar of instruction. And you will go deeper and deeper, or higher or higher. Let's stay with the example of the thing. Now, of all these things, my dear devotees, there is one practice which I would highlight as the most essential practice. It is to put what you hear into action. It's the second part. This is crucial. If we do not put our insights into actions, we will experience poor results in our confidence, which is so important in devotional practice, will crumble. We lose confidence that chanting is possible for us, the chanting with taste is possible for us. So it's really, really, really important that you put something into action. Not many things, something small that you get, then you will get a good self-confidence and you will have a wonderful journey in your Krishna conscious exercise. So, Krishna. Do you know what is success? In your practice. Wonderful. When you don't stop making efforts, says our Gaura Nataraj, he comes from an art form, the Bharatanatyam, and you know, you have to keep on doing. Yes, it's. I have written down, it's a good answer, but I've written down, my dear devotees, your success in spiritual life is the accumulation of small actions which you do. That's how you become which you move forward. It's not, in other words, just good intentions that are not followed by actions. Good intentions that are not followed by actions are just a dream. A nice dream, but a dream. Having said this, can you stay with us? Stay, we need you. Having said this, I feel very, very, almost like a pretender. My dear devotees, ultimately, as good as this model is, we call it in our Vedic way the dynamic model of transformation. There is something which is even more important. There's something which is so important that it is not even dependent on any model of transformation. And that is something which is just so wonderful. It's the mercy of Krishna. The mercy of Krishna, or the grace of Krishna, can come to us even without any qualification. But in the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami will speak about this perfection by Kripa. But usually a devotee doesn't wait for this. He tries his best to show Krishna that he is really willing to become a good chanter. He gives this signal to Krishna. What do you think, Manohar? We are trying to show the Lord, my dear Lord, we are trying our best. That is subject is discussed in the Nectar, is discussed in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Although the Lord's mercy is causeless, we are trying to do. And this always there in the Damodar Lila we find also, Mother Yashoda is endeavoring, but her endeavors alone don't bring anything. It must be the mercy of Krishna. Good. This is it's very important. We are Vaishnavas. We are not just believing in achievers. Everything can be together. The best football team in the world can be there, and they have trained the whole year, and they are really up to the their World Cup is practically in their hands already. But if Paramatma does not want them, then all these efforts are coming to waste, and they will lose even against an opponent who is not known to be extremely talented. No? This is contemporary examples. Hare Krishna, we know everything. We are with Gaur Krishna, we know everything. So, Paramatma, or the Lord, is however willing that this should happen, then everything can happen very smoothly and easy. Good. So this, we will visit this, we will have it in our, let me say, have it in our community hall where we have our workshop. Forming a willingness to change is the first, where you recognize the potential that you can grow further. Then action, small actions each day, will bring about the success in the long run. Then you should have, that will bring some confidence in you, the belief that in fact I can do this, I can go on Sankirtan, I can write a fantastic theater play, I can do actually chanting the holy name. Self-confidence is there, very important, and that will bring a transformation about where we experience positive outcomes and growth in our japa. You will visit this again and again, and we will go in the workshops through this, and I really hope that we will all become residents of the wonderful country of transformation at the end of the retreat, where you come and your friends will say, "You are glowing. What happened to you?" "It's transformation." Hare Krishna. I want to end here. It's 9 o'clock, and we want to really be starting on time. I will be able to answer any questions at the workshop, which starts at 11 o'clock British time, so not Indian time. Let us please be there. I wish you a wonderful breakfast. It is ready for you in the tent outside, so that you can take full advantage of this. And see you at, yeah, I said it already. Hare Krishna, Haribo.